we have Rob Stanley and Frank Thornton are going to kind of lead the way on teaching on our inheritance, and which is a real important subject, what's been passed on to us, right? So I don't know which one of you guys wants to lead out, but please do.
I think, thank you, David. I think I'll go first. This is Rob, by the way, for those of you that don't recognize the voice. Yeah, we are going to talk on inheritance, the inheritance that we have in Christ. And, you know, and to back up Bill's comments, Bill's statement there, he says we're going to have to totally depend on God for all of our needs. And that's receiving our inheritance right there. You know, being in a position to receive it, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. And before we get started, kind of set the stage with a vision that the Lord gave my wife Deborah last Friday, and she's going to explain it and how the Lord elaborated on that as well. So, okay.
Okay. Hello, brothers and sisters. What happened is last Friday, all the local fellowship was gathered for the time of Thanksgiving, and we just had a wonderful time together. After the meal, and we were sitting around, and then one of the gals got out a guitar, and we started just singing praises unto the Lord, and then a couple other gals started playing guitar, and it was a very, very time of sweet worship. And then Gabe Watson had a word. The room that we were in is a long living room. It's quite long and wide. But Gabe and I were at opposite ends of the length of the room. And as Gabe was giving the word of encouragement, the word of encouragement was to the body. He was speaking it to the local body, but it was understood, and I don't even know if he said this or not, but it was understood that it was to the body at large. And it was a word of encouragement. As he was speaking it, I saw this word written across from basically from one wall to the other wall, just one word written, the whole width of the room, kind of in the center of the room in midair, was the word inheritance. And it was a very full word. It was like 3D. With like a little bit of shadow at the bottom. It was very bold, very defined, not bold like a harsh word, just very bold. And as my eyes were on that word and as I was listening to what Gabe was saying, I was kind of putting them together and just saying, okay, Lord, what do I need to do here? And the Lord set this in me, my people don't understand my inheritance. Now, I know that he said my inheritance. My people don't understand my inheritance. He didn't say my people don't understand their inheritance. He said my people don't understand my inheritance, as in the inheritance that Christ has, as in the inheritance we have in Christ. And I didn't speak the word that evening, because the word inheritance was so full, and I don't know how to describe it any other way except it was very, very, very full. And I knew that if I spoke the word, that it was going to fall flat compared to the word that it was. Because many times the Lord will show me if someone else has something to add to it or just urges me to speak it, and then there is backing and confirmation and depth and width and height and length and all the fullness of it coming forth. But that didn't happen that night, so I didn't speak the word. That was on Friday night. And then on Sunday morning, Brother Frank called Rob, and they were talking, and Rob had it on speakerphone, so I could hear what they were discussing. And then Brother Frank started bringing up something that had been on his heart regarding inheritance. And so I looked at Rob and I said, that's the word, you know. And so I won't say any more because Brother Frank and Rob have a lot to share about that, but I just wanted to let you know that this is a very full, just from the vision, a very, very full, deep word. So God bless you, brothers and sisters.
And so, as I was sharing with Brother Frank today, he mentioned that the Lord had directed him, had put him into the book of Joshua maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And actually, I remember him saying that a few days ago, and this morning, I was thinking about these things, and it dawned on me that same timing, the Lord had me back in Joshua and going through and studying that about taking the land. And so that's another confirmation as far as I'm concerned is for this subject. So I want to continue with that, and what Brother Frank and I will you know, share as much as we can regarding this and kind of back and forth as the Lord leads. And so I want to start with a prayer here, and this is from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading from verse 15, and we'll go through 19. But the prayer that I want to pray is verses 17 through 19. Okay, so for this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might. So I pray that in Jesus' name, Father, regarding every single one hearing this and those that will hear the recording. We thank you, Father. And I give thanks according to Colossians 1, verse 12. I give thanks unto you, Father, who made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, brothers and sisters, by the nature of our carnal man, and you know, our natural degenerate man, we're children of wrath. We're sold into bondage of sin. And this is our state before we come to Christ. You know, the curse is the inheritance of the man of the flesh, of the carnal, lost man. Okay, however, it is those that are born of God, or born from above, that are joint heirs with Christ and heirs to the promises of God. These are the ones that have been redeemed from the curse. Jesus is our inheritance. You know, Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." You know, Christ, according to Galatians 3:19, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. You know, the Father has an inheritance set aside for those that are joint heirs with Christ. And that, let's look at Romans 8, verse 14. And Brother Frank, you feel free to jump in and any time here, okay?
I will, brother.
Okay, thank you. This verse, following through probably 22, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Okay, and the things that I want to be highlighting today are this understanding of the sons of God, you know, sons through adoption, joint heirs with Christ, you know, inheritance. You know, these are the things that I want to be looking at and emphasizing. Our adoption, our position, who we are in Christ, and that Christ is our inheritance. Okay, so Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, here's a condition, if so be that we suffer with him. Okay, now what is that about? Well, that's taking up our cross. That's, you know, you not being united, you know, with Christ on that cross. You know, Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. You see, and then Romans 6, verse 5 says, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so he said, that is suffering with him, is when we take up the cross, when we actually allow the word of God to put to death that old man, that carnal man, that the new man would live, you know. That old man, that the carnal man is decaying day by day, and an inward man is being renewed day by day. Okay, so that if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. And Frank, you may want to interject what we discussed, some of what we were discussing today about it's the sons of God that will inherit this earth, you know, according to the promise that was given to Abraham. You want to elaborate any on that, brother?
Yes, I will, brother. In Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, not son, but sons of God.
That's right.
For we receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We become the children of God and free from the bondage that we were born in. We are set free in the liberty to walk in the newness of mind, in the newness of life, a new life. We become a new creature in Christ. And therefore, as we walk with him daily, rooted and grounded in him, and the fears that are coming on the earth, we're going to be overcomers. We are overcomers in Christ, because the word says, greater if Christ is in you than he that's in the world. And as men is led by the Spirit, we are going to be led in the way of righteousness, out of harm's way, because we got to be fine-tuned to the voice of God when he speaks into us and tells us and leads us from harm's way, because he is going to give us favor with man. He says that the Scripture says that we should give no thought what we should say when we're led up to even kings and powers of this world, because he said, in that very moment, I will give you the words to speak that they cannot gainsay you. And brothers, I tell you, we're going to have to walk and be led by the power of the Spirit of God in us, leading us to overcome these trials, troubles, and tribulation that's coming on the earth, because this is the hour when God is coming forth to liberate, set apart his elect, or even the body of Christ, from the world. And we should not fear, because we are rooted and grounded in Christ, and we're hid in him. And God's going to speak through us that when we come before the rulers of this earth, those that are anointed and brought forth for this hour, we will be speaking words that would confound the wise. But God, again, it bears repeating, if he's for us, who can be against us? And so there's no fear in me tonight, because I know in whom I'm served, and the Spirit of God's in me, and the love I have for the Father, it casts out fear, perfect love for God. So we got to be fine-tuned, rooted and grounded in the will of God and in the peace of God, and to know the things that come and concern the works of His hand. And my sentiments to you today, if you don't know the Lord, if you just know about Him, come to know Him with a relationship that you know Him personally, and fellowship with Him with love and compassion, because this is a straight, narrow way that we're on. We're here not to take up arms and to come against anyone. We're here with the power of the Spirit of the Word, the same power that we have was spoken to create the heavens and the earth. And so God Himself, He upholds all things, even Himself, according to His Word. He said, I can't deny you because I can't deny myself, and He is the Word. So I pray that each and every one of us tonight will come to know the will of God for these last days and what He's doing to bring us through and keep us safe from all harm. He said, no wicked would touch you. That means that nothing deadly shall have effect on you. But we really have to have the power and the anointing of God in us to walk in that. So, Rob, you have anything that you would like to share with walking in the principles and the laws and,
amen,
and the Spirit of God?
Yep, I'll just I'll continue on with some of these verses that we're looking at, and you know, we'll go from there.
Okay.
For verses back to this is back in Romans 8. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into liberty of the glory of the children of God. Okay. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And this is as they're groaning, they're you know, it says back in verse 19 that creation is waiting for that, the revealing of the sons of God, that those sons of God would come forth and you know, receive all the full benefits, the full inheritance of Christ, and walk in that, you know, that so. And then in Galatians 3 beginning in verse 26 talks about more about the sons of God. It says, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can neither be bond nor free. There can be no male and female. For you all are one man in Christ Jesus. Now this is oneness, one in unity, you know, one in spirit. As a side note, you know, this here says that there's, you know, there's no male and there's no female in the spirit. Okay. However, we also know that, you know, there's a distinction between the duties and the responsibilities of both males and females in the scriptures. So there is a difference there, and This is Galatians 3:26, and I'm in verse 29 now. And if you are Christ's, in other words, if you were baptized into Christ, you know, and did put on Christ, if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. And moving into Galatians 4. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. Okay, so that child has to grow up to become a son, to walk in the fullness of the responsibilities, you know, of that inheritance. Okay, verse 3. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. And say, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so, in other words, Christ has received everything from the Father as an heir of the Father. Okay? I mean, in John 3, verse 35, it says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Jesus, as the heir of the Father, has been given everything from the Father. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is Christ's? We, through our adoption, are able to receive through him. You know, we have received every spiritual blessing, right? In Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, these promises of God are our inheritance. You know, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the promises of God are part of that inheritance that we have in Christ. And we have to, you know, patiently endure that trial of our faith, as Abraham did, you know, to come into or to receive the fulfillment of those promises. You know, the Israelites, who are our type and shadow, had to overcome the giants and all of their enemies who inhabited the land that was promised to them before they could receive their inheritance and dwell in that land. Okay? Theirs was a physical conquering of the lands. Ours is a spiritual conquering. As we, you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, okay, as they did. You know, we have to conquer the beast or the giant of that old man, the old sinful nature or the carnal man. You know, we are to overcome that old man and inherit, you know, by manifestation, the things that we have in Christ by faith. You know, Revelation 21, verse 7 says that he that overcometh shall inherit these things. Okay, so it's the ones that overcome that old nature, that carnal man, that come into the full inheritance, you know, of Christ. Okay, and that verse goes on and says, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Okay, this, we're once again, see, we're talking about the sons of God are the ones here that have matured and have overcome that old carnal man. And Romans 4, beginning in verse 13, says, for not through the law was the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world, okay? So that promise was Abraham would be heir to the world, okay? But through the righteousness of faith. It wasn't through the law that the promise was made, but that he would receive it through the righteousness of faith. For if they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. And the promise is of none effect. For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this cause it is of faith, and this is how we receive all those promises, by faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. That's to everyone. Okay? That or not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. So those that are righteous by faith, okay, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. And so, you know, Brother Frank, if you have anything to add in here, feel free to, you know, to add anything, you know, jump in any time.
Okay. Well, in Hebrews 6:13 here, it says, when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater than he swore by himself, saying, surely bless I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee, and thus having patiently endured, he obtained the promises. Well, man swore by his greatness, and in every... we have to receive these blessings. We have to go back to when we first believed, and the Scripture says for us, when we are in faith, we're pleasing to God. But we, like you stated earlier, we have a carnal nature that we had to overcome to inherit these promises. And so while walking in the will of God and his promises to inherit them, surely we're going to inherit these promises because they were promised to the seed of Abraham.
Right.
One seed, Jesus come forth himself and hang on the cross. We mentioned this earlier today, that when he come forth to present himself a living sacrifice, that's what you and I have to do today, and take these promises seriously and walk in them to receive them, and because there's terrible times coming. I'm not speaking damnation on you. I'm speaking the words of overcoming the world.
Amen.
They that have overcome, will he give the rights for you and I to come and enter in to the promises that he made with Abraham. We are the heirs of promise, those that are in faith. And so this is brothers, it's a time that those that are in faith should come forth and accept their inheritance through faith, and because those of us that are not led by the Spirit is going to find it difficult in our own rights to over, we can't overcome, because if we're not led by the Spirit of God, it's very easy for us to be deceived, because God is the heir of our salvation. And we spoke about today that many things that is coming on the land, and man thinks they're in control of the land, but God's only allowing them to come forth to do his bidding. And so we that are faith, rooted and grounded, and we're going to do great exports in this last day for the kingdom of God. Brothers, we're going to see a lot of multitudes of people saved in this end time, because as Jesus spoke and said, it's not going to be by his power, but it's going to be by his Spirit that he's going to work this work in the last days through those that are obedient and following him in faith and with the power, the anointing, and know the will of the Father.
Absolutely. So, those that are, you know, that are walking as the manifest sons of God, those that have overcome, those that have, you know, matured, have put to death that old man, and walking by the Spirit. Those are the days ahead of us. And I notice here that Brother Roy has something that he wants to add too here. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, brothers. I got a couple things, just one for maybe you two. I'd like to hear you address. One of them is why someone might not be receiving the inheritance or the promises. I'm thinking of a man that we've been in contact with that has had he hears some testimonies, or he's heard testimonies of people who walked in faith and received a promise for healing or for provision or something, and then when he says he tried, stepped out and tried it, it didn't happen. And I'm sure there are folks out there listening that may wonder, well, I hear these testimonies, but why don't I get an answer like they got? So would you brothers want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, brother, you said this, the word that we need to hear, you said he sat down and tried it. On our own, Jesus says we can do nothing of our own accord. We have to have the power of Jesus working. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So if Christ is in me and I'm dead to Christ, and knowing it's no longer I live and nothing I can do or say, then I rely on Jesus and him only to perform his word and his works through me. We don't rely on our own selves. We can't sit down and conjure up what we might say or do, but we have to know that, as Paul spoke, it's no longer I that do these things. I'm dead in Christ. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Jesus, he is him, the Spirit of God, is working through you and you and I, whoever. We don't lean to our own understanding or try to do anything of our own.
And another aspect of it there, Brother Roy, is that the promises of God are his promises to us, and he's not a liar. You know, he's not short, and it's not as if he doesn't have the power, the ability to perform what he has promised to perform. You know, so if there's any lacking, it's certainly not on his part. You know, if it's something, you know, the gospel, for example, you know, that's the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. It's not the power for those that don't believe. And say, so it's a matter of what do we believe? And is it truly belief, or is it, you know, wishful thinking, for example? Or is it a matter of saying, well, let me see if this works. This worked for somebody else, so if I do it the same way they did it, quote, you know, go through the same motions, the same, you know, practice, whatever, the same methods, then I'll get the same result. Well, that's based on works. That's based on...
It's leaning to your own understanding, trying to work it out in your own will. But it's the will of God and his testimony in you that we can speak these words, and they have power, because we're speaking it in the authority, as our brother David teaches, in the nature and the authority and the character, which is
right.
In the authority of God, David, is the power we have when we speak the word, if we're speaking it truly with that observation, that knowing it, it's only him that's working through us that will perform this.
Right. You know, Jesus said, you know, whatever you ask in my name.
Absolutely.
Okay, so does that mean if we tag his name at the end of our prayer, that prayer will be answered? No, it's whatever we ask in his nature and his character and in his authority. In other words, it's as if he were speaking that very same thing. You know, is what...
Well, brother, you got to understand what, and recognize, he said, in my name. His name is the Word. He said, I am the living Word that come down to you from the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. The Word that we speak is his name, and that's what performs the power.
Can I make a point here real quick?
Oh, another thing. Go ahead, Bill.
Roy mentioned about somebody trying it out and not working. A point I'd like to make in reference to that is that we have to understand that faith and manifestation of our faith and the trial of our faith. We pray in faith, and then we enter into the trial of our faith until our faith manifests. So sometimes people don't want to endure the trial of their faith, or they don't understand that, that sometimes the Lord wants to give us the trial of our faith, because faith without works is dead. So that's just one, a point I'd like to throw in there real quick.
Well, you know...
That's true, brother.
Back where...
I'm sorry. The word
where
of God
we started
is,
on this thing in Galatians chapter 4, I think is the clue to why a lot of people are not entering in the inheritance. The inheritance is not for the children. The inheritance is for the sons. And the Bible tells us, and you know, I mean, the children are servants. That's what he tells you there. That's what Rob read in the beginning. Children are servants. Okay? So what is the difference between a child and a son? Well, we, like you say, there's a difference between manifest sonship and being sons by faith. But if you're a son by faith, you have access to the inheritance. And if we read in Galatians chapter 3 and 23, it says this. It says, but before faith came, we were kept inward under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So in other words, you're still waiting on receiving this inheritance, you see. He says, so that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So, justified by faith is what makes us sons. You can't be justified by law. You can't be justified by religion. You can't be justified by hope. You can only be justified by faith. Otherwise, you are under laws, tutors, to bring us to Christ. And verse 25 says, but now that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith. So
Amen.
These are the people that inherit the promises. The sons of the Father get the inheritance. The servants don't get the inheritance. So if you're walking as a servant or as a child instead of a son through justification by faith, you're not going to get the inheritance, because when you walk by faith in God, He empowers you to believe and to receive the gift of the inheritance, which, as we've seen, the inheritance is everything that He promised to us. You know, verse 27 says, for as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Therefore, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So if you're in Christ through faith, justified from your sins, you are a son of God, and you are an heir according to the promise. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. Now the bondservant, of course, doesn't inherit with the Son of God, does he? No. But is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. Well, this day is appointed for every one of us, because, you know, we may start out in a very legalistic way with God. We may get caught up in the legalism that preachers try to put upon us, you know. But we're justified. That means we're accounted righteous through our faith, that we no longer live, Christ lives in us. That faith is accounted as righteousness. If we're not accounted righteous, we can't have the next step, which is the faith to receive His inheritances. God, faith is a gift of God, you know, the Bible says. And He doesn't give that to people who are not going to be justified by faith. He said, so we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So it's time for us to come out from under being justified by what we've done, by what we can do, what we have done, by laws, rules, regulations, church regulations, our own regulations. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We are accounted righteous by a gift, not by our works, not by our earning it, but by a gift. We've got to accept this free gift. We cannot have the inheritance in any other way than to accept it as a free gift. And he says, and because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Now, who's he talking about, because you are sons? Because you're sons of God through faith. He sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So these are the people that inherit the promises. He rebukes them for being under the going back under the rudiments of the principles of the world and observing days and months and seasons and legalistic Old Testament parables instead of the New Covenant, you know. And he goes on to say down in verse 30, he says, howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free one. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. He's trying to convince them of who they are in Christ. They're failing to understand the justification and the righteousness which is freely given to them in Christ because they accept the sacrifice of Jesus, you know, who is the testator. He gave us the testament, which is the covenant. He's the testator. Without the death of the testator, there is no testament, the Bible says. And so, because he died, we have a right to his inheritance. The inheritance isn't passed on until the testator dies. And he did die. Okay? And so, if we walk by faith, and it's real faith, that we're justified before God, then we can have this inheritance. It's a free gift. Otherwise, we're separated. In fact, as you read on down in chapter 5, he tells you again, he says, if you're seeking to be justified by the law, you got to keep the whole law. And you're severed from Christ if you try to do this. You're falling away from grace. You have nothing without grace. Grace is God's favor given to you to be able to apprehend the inheritance. And so you got nothing without that. And if you're seeking any kind of righteousness outside of the righteousness that's freely given from God, like the righteousness of self-righteousness, which people want because they baptize this way, or they believe this, or they do this, or they, you know, have done this, you know, all self-righteousness before God, that person's separated from grace, he's separated from Christ, he's not going to inherit the promises. He may be seeking to earn God's pleasure, and it can never happen. The point is, we have to be sons in order to inherit the promises. Even the servants get a loan, according to Ezekiel 46, a loan of the inheritance until the day of Jubilee, which is the time, of course, of the coming of the Lord. And at that time, that inheritance is taken back away from the servants and given to the sons. The sons are the only ones that have eternal inheritance, eternal life. And even the servants that are down here, they can partake of parts of the benefit, but it's temporary. They'll lose it. We have to grow past the place of being a servant and into the place of being a son. And the only way to do it is you have to accept that gift by faith. I yield the floor.
Well, thank you. Thanks, David. The Lord has foreordained us into adoption as sons. You know, but as David was saying, that sonship is something that, you know, we need to mature into, that becomes manifest. You know, yes, we receive just like all of, you know, the blessings, that the spiritual blessings, we receive those all by faith. You know, we walk in that faith, and those what we're believing for, and those promises become manifest. Like, you know, with one offering, you know, he hath perfected forever them that are being sanctified. Well, you know, we walk in obedience to the word, and we become perfected. You know, we manifest that perfection of Jesus Christ. We manifest the righteousness of Christ. We manifest our adoption as sons of God. You know, Ephesians 1. And I'll read this starting in verse 3. I already read that verse there, but I'm going to continue past that. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, so that we should be holy. That's the purpose here. We should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons. You know, and just like we're to make our calling and election sure, we're to make our sonship just as sure. You know, and that's the same process. So adopted us as sons through Jesus Christ unto him, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved in Christ. You know, and one thing too, going back a little bit to what Rory's question was, and even Bill commented on this too, you know, needing to endure that trial of our faith. You know, in Hebrews 10:26, it talks about needing to be patient. You know, for we have need of patience. That having, this is Hebrews 10:36. For we have need of patience, that having done the will of God, we may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry, but my righteous one shall live by faith. That's the one that has endured in patience, the trial of their faith, and patiently endured to receive it. Okay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay, if he becomes double-minded, that's not pleasing to God, you know. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have the faith unto the saving of our soul. In other words, to the point where we become the manifest sons of God. That sonship becomes manifest through faith, by walking by faith. You know, the saving of our soul, this salvation of our soul, the regeneration or the purification of our soul that Hebrews 10:39 talks about there, is speaking, you know, that is the part that what it's speaking of is also part of our inheritance. That's the manifestation of Christ in us. That's the renewed mind, that mind of Christ. It's you know, the inheritance of his nature, of his mind, of his heart, of his will. It's Christ in you. That hope of glory. Okay, we need patience. You know, we have a need of patience, that having done the will of God, we've actually performed and maintained and walked in and done the will of God, we may receive the promise. Okay, so there's an aspect too, there's two parts of that, being patient, enduring the trial of our faith, and also doing the will of the Father. You know, Jesus said, it's my meat to do the will of the Father. You know, do we have that same type of desire to do the will of the Father? You know, that's one of the requirements in sonship, is doing the will of the Father. You know, also, speaking of patience, one that comes to mind is Noah. You know, Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen. So in other words, God was revealing things to him that he had never seen before, like, no, it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. And Noah had no understanding in the physical what that meant. Okay, but concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And that's the same faith that we're talking about, that needing to walk in. You know, Noah had no understanding, no ability to relate to something that he's ever experienced before. But he's standing upon what God has spoken to him and the directions that God has given him to do. And he diligently, patiently endured that trial of his faith for around 100 years, you know, as he was being mocked by all of his neighbors and everybody else around him. You know, so that's patiently enduring. You know, Noah became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God has chosen his elect heirs of his kingdom. Amen. Brother Frank, do you have anything that you want to throw in?
Well, in Ephesians, like the brother was speaking earlier, in Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as we was chosen in us, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to come forth at this hour, having the, he has foreordained us to be adopted sons. That's Ephesians 1 and 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5, and 6 through there. Let me read it to you, for you. In Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us in the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he hath freely bestowed upon us in the beloved.
Amen.
You want to comment on that, brother?
Yeah, you know, that the Lord has foreordained it. That means that he has predetermined it.
Yes.
Predestined it.
Yes. But, you know, God will never force us to serve him. He will send the invitation, and he, truly, like we just read, he has foreordained that we would come in the likeness of his Son and love and come forth this day. But it's, you know, we still have to yield ourselves to him and walk in him and be, as Paul said, be renewed in it daily. I was studying one morning, and I was studying about it. You see, our Father knows our very thoughts. And I was sitting there thinking deeply, where is the cross? And where's our altar? And what is the cross that he's asking us to come to and pick up daily? He spoke to me and said, the foot of Jesus is your altar, and the scripture is your cross. It'll crucify the flesh if you accept the word of God and believe it and walk in it. It'll crucify the old man of the flesh, but you got to love him. And so that's how he revealed it to me, is walking in faith, is believing him. And faith is believing that which you can't see.
That's right.
But you believe it anyway. And
that's
then
right.
Then he's manifested to what you speak, and he manifests it for you. Faith grows, and you hear the word then, and you believe the word more and more, and more you I see the power of God manifested, not just in miracles, but to just believe in Him. And it works for me, brother.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, Jesus is our inheritance.
Absolutely,
know.
He is.
That's right. You know, the Apostle Paul said that everything, basically everything that he had attained in that world, you know, in his lifetime there, before Christ, you know, before he had that Damascus Road experience, you know, he counted all that as refuse, as meaningless, as you know, as dung, one translation says, that he might gain Christ, his inheritance. You know, he disregarded everything of his worldly life that he would gain his inheritance, that he would gain Christ. And in Philippians 3, verse 8 says, yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge, or the knowing, the epikinosis, of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. And Paul's desire was that he, as well as we, those that would come behind, would attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, oh, that we would lay hold of the fullness of Christ, receiving our complete inheritance, walking by faith to receive that manifest inheritance.
And that's the inheritance of our promised land, too. Because
right.
The land that was promised unto us is this natural life. It's been promised that we would take it. We would take this house. We would bear fruit of the land. We would be in control of the house and so on and so forth. And that's, we're the land. And as you said, Christ is the inheritance, because once the land is taken, the one who lives in it is Christ.
That's right.
Is the spiritual man. You know, the Israelite, you know. Praise God. The Lord is restoring the land to us in these days. He is restoring our promised land to us in these days. He is restoring the temple. He is restoring Israel, Zion, unto us in these days. He said many were going to come from the east and the west and to build in this temple and in this Zion. And, of course, he's talking about in our days when the church is doing this, you know, partaking of the promised land and rebuilding the promised land and so on and so forth.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Inheritance.
That's right.
Manifest.
That's right. You know, the Levites were a type and shadow of the royal priesthood that the you know, that Peter talks about. And then back there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you were, or you are, a elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him. In other words, that those excellencies would be manifest in us. Okay? That you would show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, that royal priesthood. You know, in the Old Testament type and shadow of that is, you know, are the Levitical priests that, and we read in Ezekiel 44:28, it says, and they shall have an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. In other words, they weren't to receive any of that land, you know, but the Lord was their inheritance. He goes on, he says, I am their possession. You know, and so that's representing Christ is our possession. He is our inheritance. You know. And so, yes, and we are to, he is restoring that land. The grunt, the earth cries out for the revealing of the sons.
I think maybe that, some people could misunderstand, you know, that we're not talking about attaining to something here.
That's right.
We're talking about receiving it immediately as a Christian, as a born-again new Christian. We're talking about receiving it as a gift through faith,
That's right.
That we are accounted as righteous through our faith. We are accounted as Jesus Christ through our faith. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. And therefore, that's imputed righteousness. That's imputed sonship right there.
That's right.
Being a son by faith, the difference between being a son by faith and a son by manifestation is, of course, maturity. But you have all the rights when you're a son by faith as you do when you're a son by manifestation. It's given to you as a free gift. It's not a matter of, well, I've got to wait till I attain to this before I can manifest these gifts. As a matter of fact, baby Christians sometimes manifest more of the inheritance than somebody that's been in the faith for a long many years and not actually stepping out and walking in that inheritance. I mean, baby Christians have strong faith, and
right.
The Lord honors that with signs and wonders and miracles because they're receiving their inheritance because they have faith in God. You know, he said, except you become as a child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. You know, we come, a child just believes in their parent, and they trust in their parent. You know, we trust in God. Even as a baby Christian, we understand, we have fellowship with him. We know him as a child. No, we haven't manifested all the wisdom that we will as a mature son of God, but we have that faith, and because of that, God does miracles for us. You know, praise
Amen.
God. We're receiving the inheritance. We're seeing it manifest. Some older, so-called older, it's not necessarily older, but so-called older Christians may not even be seeing that. And it's because they're not acting on their faith. Faith without works is dead. The baby Christian sometimes jumps right out there and acts on his faith and sees signs and wonders and sees the provision of God. And older Christians, you know, they're tired in their faith, and they're, you know, they've gone to sleep, and they basically are not. They're manifesting servanthood because they will serve God, but they can't really serve him like they should because the only one that can really serve God is the Son. You know, he obviously went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was serving God in the greatest way, you know, but he wasn't serving as a servant. He was serving as a son. He was serving for love, and not because he had to.
You know, one of the things that just really speaks to me, too, is how much Jesus has done and what he's already gone through, conquered on our behalf. You know, that he has completed everything. He has gone before. He has conquered sin, the power of sin, for us. You know, just like the in the Old Testament, in Exodus 23, beginning in verse 20, as this is a type and shadow, okay, for Jesus going before us. And it says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee by the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared, which is, that's the promised land, okay? Jesus, our, you know, in our covenant, he has gone before us to, and he will keep us in the way to bring us into the place that he has prepared. You know, verse 21, take ye heed before him and hearken unto his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. And for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. Jesus has gone before us, and he's conquered every demonic spirit. Just like that angel went before the Israelites to conquer and cut those off. In verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break in pieces their pillars. In other words, destroy everything of the false religions. Destroy everything, you know, of the Babylonish belief system. Those things all have to be torn down. Okay, verse 25. And he shall, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from thee. There shall none cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my terror before thee, and will discomfort all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. In other words, they're going to turn around and run from you. Our enemies will run from us as we walk in that authority, you know, of Jesus Christ, as we walk as sons of God, the manifest sons of God. Our enemy will run. Okay, verse 28, and I will send the hornet before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. And I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. In other words, I'm not going to get rid of them all at once, okay, lest the land become desolate. Okay, so that gives an indication. Many times, you know, people grow weary with the trials of their faith. They want these things over now, you know, and I understand. But here the Lord's saying, I'm not going to conquer, you know, run out all of those nations at the same time within 1 year, you know, or else the land would become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee. And this is a day-by-day walk, conquering the land day by day. And little by little, we overcome that old man, the old nature. And as we continue to grow in grace, we continue to grow in faith. And it's a day-by-day continuing to remain steadfast and patient in our faith without wavering. Little by little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Amen. Anybody else want to add anything in there?
Amen. The manifestation of the sons of God is a manifestation of those who have taken full possession of their inheritance. And, you know, I say to baby Christians out there or anybody in between, you have the authority to that inheritance. You don't have to wait until you're mature. Maturity and wisdom mixed with that young faith is powerful, super powerful. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's what God is doing. He's raising up those who are mature, both in wisdom and knowledge of God, so that they're not really asking for the moon. You know, they're not asking for something that's beyond God's will, you know, but they know when and where to exercise their faith, but they still got that young faith. It's still very exuberant, and, you know, they step out by trusting their Father to do what he said he would do. They just trust in him. This combination in the very near future is going to be the manifestation of the first fruit sons. Yeah. And, of course, these are going to be a wonderful demonstration to everyone else of what it is that Jesus looks like, what it is to possess the fullness of our inheritance, what it is to walk as a son of God. The sons have full rights to the inheritance of the Father. Of course, we're looking forward to seeing this. None of us have actually seen this manifestly yet, but we're going to see it soon, and it's going to be, when it comes, it's going to be a gift of God in the fullness of time that it's going to come. It's not going to come because anybody earned it or attained to it. It's going to be because God has decided this is the time. The fullness of time has come, and the adoption, the place.
Amen.
And these have manifested Jesus Christ. And as the scripture says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And as you know, the first fruits of our inheritance, the down payment of our inheritance, is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do it, and I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. He is the one that raises up in us, manifests Christ in us, and he is the one that uses our faith to bring us the grace that we need to be what we can't possibly be otherwise. It's going to be a gift from beginning to end. The first fruits of our faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, all this is going to be a gift of grace in order to bring us into his image. We can relax. Some people are so tormented that they don't appear to be what they see in the scripture God wants. Well, that's a waste of time. You are just wasting God's time by being tormented over such a thing. He's already done this for us, and we can rest in the fact. Rest is part of faith. Faith without works is dead. If you want to be a son, the only way you can accept that gift is through faith. And so the torment about what you are not is, you know, is looking towards the earth, not looking towards the sun. You don't have your eyes on what he has accomplished for you, you know. Don't waste any time with condemnation. Don't waste any time with condemning yourself. You know, start right now to accept freely this gift of God, not but because of what your works are or what you've attained to, but because of what Jesus attained to and what he did on the cross. It's all about him. It's not about us. And when we accept what he did as an accomplished fact in our life by faith, not because we can look at it or see it, but because of faith, that's what sonship is. That's what sons by faith is. And that's the only way to get to sons by manifestation, is to walk in that way of faith. That way we're going to attain, and we will mature, and we will grow, and it'll be a gift of God, not of our works.
Amen. You know, the Jesus will cause us to inherit. You know, and the type and shadow of that is Joshua was told, you know, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, beginning in 7, and it talks, and Moses called Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord said, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, nor fear, and fear not, neither be dismayed. And it's kind of interesting. I was reading, looked at, when I was going through a few months ago, through the book of Joshua, I also came into, you know, a place there in Numbers where the spies are sent out. And in Numbers 13, Joshua's name at that point was Hoshea. And in verse 16, it says, because previously it listed all those that went in to spy out the land, and it said, you know, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Okay. And then down below that in verse 16, it says, these are the names of the men that Moses went to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Okay. Well, Hoshea means salvation. Joshua means the Lord is salvation, or Lord of salvation. Okay. So, as a type and shadow, the Israelites, you know, Joshua caused them to inherit the land. You know, the Lord is salvation. The Lord of salvation caused them to inherit the land. Joshua is the type and shadow for Jesus. Jesus causes us, the work that he has done, you know, as we come into agreement by faith with him, as we are renewed by his word, as we walk patiently enduring that trial of our faith, He causes us, his works have caused us, his promises cause us to come into that promised land, that inheritance. Amen. It says in Joshua 1, verse 3, it says, every place that your soul, the sole of your feet, shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spoke unto Moses. And down in verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto the fathers, their fathers, to give to them. So the Lord gave Joshua tremendous anointing to bring those people into the promised land. And that is the type and shadow of Jesus. There was an incredible anointing. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit to cause us to inherit that promised land. It's his works in us. It's nothing, as David says, nothing of ourselves. It's none of our righteousness, none of our works. Our works, are just filthy rags. The works of self-righteousness, as the word says. And they'll get us nowhere, they'll get us nowhere in towards our inheritance. It's only by the grace of God and by his completed works, is by faith in what he has done and his promise, that we, and as we walk in that faith, that we come into that. Amen. Brother Frank, you want to add anything to this?
I'm reminded of the cheering and the rejoicing and the cheering about the victory that they were receiving. Isn't Jesus the one who is coming in the body of the man-child to cause us to inherit the land? And, of course, inheriting the land is also conquering the beast.
Absolutely. They had peace out.
Wow. We win, folks. We win. We got to be rejoicing now on this side rather than the other side. You remember the song of Moses? It was on right song, wrong side, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. On this side, we need to be rejoicing. It's been done. Praise be to God. He has given us victory. Hallelujah. And they're rejoicing in heaven, too, when we believe it,
Right.
A great cloud of witnesses. Praise God.
Amen. And, as we do rejoice and realize that it is completed, we're able to receive it. It's as if, it's just like as we reckon ourselves as dead to sin, that's when we realize that, and alive to God, that's when we realize that sin no longer has power over us, that we don't have to serve it, And the same thing, when we realize the power of Christ, when we recognize the promise and come into agreement with that, then we're able to receive it. Then we're able to walk in it, And it is victorious, We need to rejoice always, as the Lord says, as the word says. Again, I say rejoice, So we have a tremendous inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Brother Frank, you have anything that you want to throw in here?
Well, I was sitting here meditating on 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4 and verse 7, when it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Brother, when we can say that and know it's a fact and reality in us that we have kept the faith of Jesus Christ, we are overcomers then. All the inheritance, what we have here and what is laid up for us, we're truly the manifested sons of God, is here for this hour to perform, do the works of Christ in us, that when we fought this good fight, as Paul said, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. He was ready to yield up the Spirit, his ghost. And brother, that's where we should stand with our hope rooted and grounded in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that gave his life that you and I could have life in him, to redeem those that are walking in darkness. And that's the great manifestations of the sons of God that's coming forth to do this. Christ in us, the hope of glory, to go forth into the harvest, and there's going to be a multitude of souls coming. And so we're here for a season. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because we're going to finish our course with faith in the works that Christ is performing in and through us. As Paul said, it's no longer I'm living. I couldn't do this without Jesus in me. He said, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So let's be courage in the Word of God and keep it and walk in it and let it ordain us into eternal life and bring souls with us, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that's my heart's desire, to win souls, to minister to them and to deliver them when they're in doubt. We have an enemy, and he's called the mind of the flesh, the old man. People called me and said, I feel like I was going to die. I said, go ahead and die to the flesh. Then you can be overcomers. You'll live forever. I meant, that's the way it is, brothers. I'm rejoicing today because the game of life, in Christ, we can win it, but we're no match for Satan, you know, playing the game of life. As you stated earlier, it's Christ in us that we can overcome the wicked one. And so let's go in faith and walk in faith and rooted and grounded in, and then whatsoever we desire, he'll give it to us. He's working through us. We'll see it manifest. We don't have to worry about anything that's coming. It's Christ in us, the hope of all things. Okay, brothers.
Amen.
And the most important soul that you can win, believe it or not, is your own.
You got that right.
Because unless that one is won, you really can't be used to God.
Your tinkle, cymbal, sound, and brass.
That's right. The one who can save souls is Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
your soul
yeah.
is one. That's why Jesus said it's so important. Get the mote out of your eye so you can see good. Get the board out of your eye so you can see good. Get the mote out of your brother's eye. He said the most important thing is, first of all, you. You. I see people that come into the kingdom and the first thing they want to do is turn their attention on other people. That's not right. And, for preachers to get you caught up in that, when you, first of all, need to be learning how to be a disciple of Christ. First of all, need to be getting the Word of God in your own soul. It is the Word that does the work. You know, he sent his Word and healed them. It was Jesus who was the Word healed people. And the Word manifested in us is what makes us capable of being able to be used of God to be winning other souls. The first thing you got to have is fruit. You know, if you know where seeds come from, you can take fruit and throw it out there on the ground, and it's going to bear fruit because the seed is in the fruit. You know, if you haven't borne fruit, what do you expect God to be able to do with you? Of course, you can convert people to religion, you know, but I'm talking about actually converting people into the kingdom, you know. It's the fruit. It's the fruit that counts. So begin to bear fruit, and then God will use that fruit to bring forth other souls, right?
Now, I'd like to read a few verses here as we get close to the end, and some of these just speak about our inheritance. Proverbs 8:21 says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, okay? And that I may fill their treasuries. Isaiah 45 verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And Isaiah 57 verse 13 says, when thou criest, let them
that thou hast gathered deliver thee. But the wind shall take them, a breath shall carry them away. But he that taketh refuge in me shall possess the land. He's our hiding place, brothers and sisters. He is our refuge. Jesus is our refuge. He that taketh refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's the inheritance there. Okay. Acts 20:32 says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able," the word of his grace, "which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Hallelujah. And then Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are all they not ministering spirits," speaking of the angels, "sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" That's the saving of our souls as well. That's what David was talking about. Now, Hebrews 6:12 says, "That you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Amen, brothers and sisters. Be patient in your faith and inherit those promises. Amen.